session number 21189, rule 8.
Jarkowski relates.
During one of my visits to Warsaw from Płońsk, which was only for a day because I had to report back to work, you know, I got hold of Bulletin Informacyjny, which was the official newspaper of the AK. It was printed only 4 or so pages on a very thin paper, small, so that you could easily smuggle it and hide it. And somehow I got the idea that it would be very clever of me to bring some of those examples, information bulletins, you know, to Płońsk, because we didn't have them there. The question was, how do I smuggle it through the very strict frontier controls between general government and the Reich? And the controls were very, very strict. And at one of the newspaper kiosks, I bought a German Luftwaffe magazine. I don't know whether it was a monthly or whatever. Anyway, it was extremely well edited on very good paper and so on. And of course, although it contained a lot of German propaganda, if you read between them, you know, you knew that what's propaganda, what is truth, you know. So I bought it. And I thought that if I put that Bulletin Informacyjny among the pages of that magazine, and I tried to flick them quickly, the pages were stiff enough that they wouldn't open on when the Bulletin Informacyjny was, you know. So I thought, well, that's where I will put it. And on my way back to Płońsk, I put those Bulletin in that Eagle magazine, the Adler in German. Before I got to the frontier, for some unknown reason, I don't know why, I just took those those Bulletin Informacyjny from the newspaper, and I put it in my wallet and in my pocket. I said, well, they won't be looking, you know, they might look for money, but they won't look for an underground press in my wallet, you know, the last piece. Anyway, when we got to the frontier, when I went to the passport, you know, an equivalent of passport control of the, other controls, and some other officer walked in, and I don't know, I can't remember what he was checking. He was checking something. But I put the Eagle, the magazine, sort of nonchalantly on the seat of in the compartment. And I was the only one in the compartment. There was nobody else. And the German looked at it, walked out. He came back after, you know, a few seconds, stood to attention, saluted, didn't say Hi Hitler, saluted. He said, look, this is such a Timbuktu of a place here. You know, I can't get any newspapers, we can't get any books, anything. Would you mind selling me the Adler? Well, I was so relieved that I took the Bulletin Informacyjny from them. I said, no, I finished, I'll take it, you know. So again, he stood there, and he clicked his heel, he saluted, said thank you, and walked out. Now, have I left that bulletin in that magazine? What would have happened? Well, maybe nothing. Maybe he would be set off, blow it, you know. But on the other hand, it wouldn't be very difficult to inform the next station, was quite a distance away, to board the train and get me. The other example other experience which I had. This was on traveling to Warsaw. It was later on in the war. The Germans did not allow Poles traveling on express trains. Now, from Płońsk, you travel to a town called Nasielsk, where you would change the trains going from East Prussia proper, from Königsberg, you know, to Warsaw. You would change the trains there. Now, as I was traveling the Poles traveling there was traveling with duvets, pillows, and so on. And I said, "What the hell? What are you taking this with you?" I said, "Well, don't you know, the next train towards Warsaw won't be here. I can't remember whether it was 12 hours or 24 hours or something like that." And she said, I said, "Well, there is a train, you know, in an hour or so." "Yeah, but this is an express train and you can't get on it. You are not allowed to get on it." So that's why we're carrying, you know, blankets and buffet and then pillows, so that they slept at the station to wait for the next train, which was an ordinary train which they could board. Well, when we got there, the other thing was I could not buy a direct ticket from Płońsk to Warsaw, presumably for that reason. So when we got to Natchez, I went to the cashier office and I said, you know, ticket to Warsaw, please. And the clerk said, "You are a German." And I said, "No. No, you could take advantage if the Germans assumed that you were a German. But if you claim to be a German and then it was discovered that you weren't, then you were in trouble." So I said, "No." Anyway, other people tried to get tickets, he sent them all off. And when they all went through, I walked up to the cashier again and said, "Look, why do you want me to stay here? Sell me a ticket, for goodness sake." I said, "Look, well, as it happened, he was a Volksdeutsch, another a German living in Poland before the war." I said, "Well, it's your fault." He said to me in Polish, "I knew that you were Pole, but I asked you, are you a German? If you said, yeah, I would have sold you the ticket. When you said, nein, then I didn't." Well, that was it, that attempt. And anyway, if I sold you a ticket, all those other people know that you are poor, and once they learn that I sold you a ticket, they all want a ticket, you know, and I would. So I walked outside the station, walked along the track, and I saw some workers working on the track. You know, to be Poles, well, 90% or 95% of the people living there were Poles. So I called him and I said, "Well, look, can you go and get me a ticket on that train?" "Oh, by the way," also the gentleman said, "even if I did sell you a ticket, you know, they are checking not the tickets at the turnstiles, but checking, you know, identity cards and so on." So I called to this worker and said, "So can you get me a ticket?" And I had two pairs of socks. I said, "Well, one pair is for the cashier to sell me the ticket and one pair is for you." And they repeated the same story. I said, "Look, you can, well, even if you sell you the ticket, you won't get through the barrier because there are assessments, the Gestapo chaps checking everybody." I said, "Well, let me worry about it." So off they went. It took a long time before they came back. I said, "Well, they put two pairs of socks for nothing into my pockets and I won't see them anymore." But then they did come back. And he did sell them the ticket for a pair of socks. And that's another bribery situation. And they kept the ticket. And all I did, I asked him, "Is the train punctual?" "Yes, it is." "How long does it stop at the station?" Said, "Less than a minute." I also said that As the train approached the station, it blows a whistle, so, you know, just to confirm. So I went back to the station. There was a lawn outside with some flower beds and so on. I sat on a bench there and waited for. I heard the train coming in. I heard the whistle. I saw heard the train coming in and pulling up at the station. And I dashed into the station in German. I shouted, "Is that the train for Warsaw?" And the two Gestapo chaps said, "Yes, hurry, because you will miss it." And they grabbed my suitcases and took me onto the train. And there were German soldiers. Well, the train was already moving, actually. And they pulled, the Gestapo chaps were pushing from my bottom. The Germans were, grabbed me by the hand and dragged me in. And so I got on the train. Now, I also knew that the train won't stop till Warsaw. It won't stop at the frontier. And that was possibly one of the reasons why they didn't allow Poles, And I didn't want to sit. The Germans was not completely full, but there were a lot of German soldiers traveling. I didn't want to sit with them. So I walked along the corridor looking for some empty compartment. Eventually, I found one. It was empty, but it looked suspicious. So I looked at it. There was a reserve for mother with children or something. But there was another one reserved for somebody else. And there was third one not reserved for anybody. But because the others were reserved, so presumably in that third one, there was nobody there either. So I sat in that compartment, watching, looking through the window. And I was engrossed in thoughts of relaxing and admiring my cleverness, how I got on the train and what have you. And a conductor came in and he said in German, "Are you traveling to Warsaw?" Sort of question which you know the answer to. And I was so engrossed in my thought that instead of saying yeah, I said tak. And he jumped. "Are you a Pole?" "Well, as I said, according to my theory, you must not claim something because you hide me as well. I didn't have to say yes." "How did you get on that train?" I said, "What do you mean, how did I get on that train? It's a ticket. I bought a ticket. I don't know that Poles are not allowed. You sold the ticket, that's it. Why haven't got a badge with P on it?" The Poles in Reich had, like the Jews had to carry a yellow badge with the Star of David. The Poles were to carry P. Now, officially, we were supposed also to do it in that part of Poland. But because 95% of the population, there were Poles. So if they insisted the Germans on Poles wearing that, it would show up that there are no Germans on the Poles. So they ignored it. But the German, the conductor on the train, he didn't know that he came from East Prussia when there were, only deported Poles or what have you. So he said, "How can you say, look?" I said, "Nobody wears P here. Look in the fields. There are people walking in the fields. Nobody wears P." I said, "Well, they're all Germans." So now I'm asking, how can I bribe him, that he will say, "I will have to stop the train at the next station and call the police." How can I bribe him? I said, "Well, let's do it gently. I had a bag of cherries. Well, have a cherry." "So, no, that would be a bribe." I said, "No, it won't be a bribe. It's a cherry. I didn't pay for it. It comes from my parents' ground farm and, have a cherry." No. So I again tried. I said, no, that would be a bribe. He walked away. A couple of minutes later, he came back and he said, "Do you know what it's today?" Somewhere, yes, Thursday, whatever, Friday, such. I said, "No, it's my birthday." "Happy birthday to you. Have a bag of cherries." He took the cherries, walked away, and that was it. And I got to Warsaw. End of the story.